Welcome to the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club Show, presented by Honey Stinger. This is a podcast that will make you want to get outdoors and will give you some great ideas as a sport parent, athlete, or coach. Born in the beautiful mountain town of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, the Winter Sports Club was founded over a century ago and now serves a majority of kids in our community and has produced more Winter Olympians than any other club in North America. There are secrets and great stories to share as we play year-round in these mountains we call home. Our calling is to develop complete athletes on and off the mountain by cultivating a passion for the outdoors and a love of sports at all levels. Stay tuned to hear from Olympians, athletes of all ages, coaches, experts, and people who are doing amazing things to make an impact in our community and in their sport.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Nicole DeBoom. I'm a former professional triathlete who finally discovered the joys of skiing in my late 40s when I moved to Steamboat Springs with my family. We immediately discovered the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club, and it's become a huge part of our lives as my husband, Tim DeBoom, is a ski and bike coach, and my daughter, Wilder, has found happiness, friendship, and joy through skiing, jumping, riding, and more. I am thrilled to bring the positive energy of the Winter Sports Club to people all over the world. Thanks for listening. Now let's get started. All right, we are ready. We are rocking. We are on the air. This is my podcast voice, by the way.
Oh.
Do you still recognize me?
Yes. It sounds good.
Hello, friends. We are back today with a really fun podcast. We think it's going to be fun, at least. Who knows how it's going to go? I'm sitting here with Nelson Carmichael and Caroline Lalive, two amazing legends in the sport of some sort of skiing, because you both did different kinds of skiing. We're going to get to that in a minute. And you're sitting here not only because of the incredible things that you two have accomplished, but because you also went through this program. You were involved in Steamboat in some way when you were younger and in your development years, and now you have kids and they're involved in the program. And we all find that really interesting and hope to have some takeaways here today from all of the experiences that you may be able to share. So welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having us. We're awesome. Both here at the same time.
And you're sharing a mic. So
yeah, we're swiveling it back and forth. So it's like a dance.
Oh, I love that. It is like a dance. I mean, geez, that's probably the best way to describe a career in the world of skiing, would you say?
It can be. I suppose it's a dance. There's a rhythm to it for sure. I think all the turns back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
Over and over and over.
Okay. We're going to get some life lessons out of this. I can just tell right now. You know, it's interesting. I don't interview a lot of couples, especially couples that are, you know, super accomplished and have, you know, both have their own stories to share. So we're going to do our best today to just like get it out, and we're going to go with it. I thought it might be cool to just start by learning each of your stories, because not everybody knows, you know, how you grew up, where you grew up, how you found skiing, you know, what else helped drive you to the place where you eventually became, you know, professionals. So since the mic's over by you, Nelson, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, sure. Where do we start? I grew up here, although I wasn't born here. So people ask a lot of times where you're from, and then they're surprised, oh, you're from right here. And then they think that's sort of obvious. Well, yeah, you went through the programs, or you had a great ski mountain, and you had a great club, and you had coaches and all that. And I say, yeah, that's true. It just kind of happened that way, though. We moved here when I was about 12 from Western New York, kind of Buffalo, Niagara Falls area. And I was young, not skier, really. I was a hockey player at that time. It's kind of what I knew and loved as sort of my first sport, was playing hockey back there. And that's really a hotbed for all of hockey, even still right now. So we moved out here, and there wasn't any hockey at 12. I was going into seventh grade. And so we went down, to Howlison. That's really where their parks and recreation kind of department was at the time, through the city and then over to Howlison, and said, okay, well, you must have some hockey programs here. I'd like to sign my son up. I went down with my mom, and they said, no, we don't have any hockey. And they said, well, we sort of have an outdoor rink in the winter, and sometimes it's operational and sometimes it's not with all the snow. And there's maybe kind of a men's league, but anyway, it just sort of wasn't happening. But they said, there's lots of ski programs. At the time there were less ski programs, but to us there were a lot of ski programs. And so I said, well, okay, do you want to sign up for either Nordic, which to me was completely foreign, of either cross country skiing or jumping off the long, big Nordic jumps, or alpine skiing, which was racing just around gates. And I didn't know much about that either, but I thought, well, that's a little closer. I kind of knew how to ski from being back in Western New York, Southern Ontario. We'd go a couple times a year, but I knew how to ski, but that was literally it. I kind of could go straight and stop. And I was still snow plowing and, you know, just learning my way around the mountain, to be honest, when we first got here.
Can I pause us 1 second? In today's day, we feel like if we didn't put our kids in the sport they're going to, you know, become Olympic athletes in, by the time they're what, 5, they don't stand a chance. And I'm just sitting here listening going, there's still a chance, you know. Oh, yeah. 12 years old.
Yeah. So
you basically learned.
12. Yeah, pretty much. So I did alpine that first year, but I was really pretty lousy. I mean, we got on some hard snow and some harder courses, and just learning how to turn and parallel and edge and angulate and all these things. It was definitely foreign to me. And I was with kids that were, of course, had grown up here and had started when they were 5. And so I felt really out of it, and but got through that first winter. And then the next winter, I said, I don't think I want to do any programs. I just want to learn how to ski more. And I was hanging out and had some more friends that were just skiing on the mountain, and friends from school. And, you know, being what, an 8th grade then, I thought, I just need to learn how to ski and just play around up there. And during that year, then freestyle skiing started up, which really started in the summertime with trampolines and water ramps. A guy, Park Smalley, and his brother John, they started this summer camp of messing around doing tricks that were in preparation for doing them on snow for skiing. And so I started seeing these kids, and eventually became friends of mine, started this program in the summer, and then that next winter, and they were doing moguls, and, you know, they were just up there having fun and jumping. And at that time it was a 3-event sport. We had moguls and ballet skiing and aerials. And so I thought, well, there's a lot going on here, and this looks more my style. And so, having learned how to ski a little bit more and hanging out with those friends, then I transferred over to freestyle program. And then from there, then it was into high school, and started going to meets and competitions all around the state, and then going to regionals, and then going to nationals, and then at the end of high school, finally making it to the U.S. ski team that competes on the World Cup. So that was out of high school. So it was those years really from 7th grade, you know, a little bit learning how to skiing 7th and 8th, and then really focusing on freestyle through high school, and then made it on the World Cup, which competes on the U.S. ski team, which competes on the World Cup in aerials at first. I happened to make it in that because my results, I think, were a little better at nationals in aerials. And I thought, I still wanted to ski a lot. And aerials was really specific. It was sort of like Nordic jumping, whereas if you're a Nordic jumper, it's very specific. That's what you do. You're not so much a all-around skier anymore. And aerials, I looked at it that way, that this is fun and all, but it's these big tricks. And that's all you're doing. You know, you could be a gymnast, you could be a trampolinist, but you happen to do it on snow. And I wanted to ski more. And so moguls was really what I wanted to do. So I actually kind of waited and turned down that spot at the beginning, said, I don't think I can go on World Cup and just do aerials. And I waited through that summer, and then somebody else either was hurt around the country or declined their spot for combined, which was the 3 events that I mentioned. And then they offered it to me and said, well, you can come do combined now. Do you want to do all 3 events? And I said, yeah, that's for sure. So that's what I did. And that was back in 84, and I was 17.
Oh,
turning 18. Yeah. So that
what
was
a whirlwind.
Really, yeah. And it's a hard time of life. And now it's the same. It's a hard time of life for skiers, for kids, whether they go, do they continue their ski career or do they go to school? You know, they're just graduating high school and they have college right there. Are they going to go to college? And skiing is the kind of sport where you have to sort of make that decision. I think it's based on age a little bit and your discipline, but it's not like basketball or football, or maybe some degree hockey where you go to college and then you might do a couple years, you might do all 4 years of college and then you go into the pros, you go to the big league after that. And skiing, your formative, those really big years are right when you're basically getting out of high school. And so you have to kind of decide.
But hold on. This is like both your physical body and your emotional development are not mature yet. And here you are making decisions that dictate the next chapter of your life. I mean, that's a tough thing. Like how were you able to navigate that in a way where, you know, when you turn down a spot, that requires like self-discipline at that young age, you know? So were your parents, you know, really helpful with that part of your development or your coaches?
I think a little bit of everything. Yeah, my parents were really supportive. They were never pushy. I think my dad, especially, well, both of them, they probably thought, well, you need to go to school. At some point here, you need to go to school, but they also understood if you're going to be good at skiing, this is the time to do it and you could go back to school. So I think they trusted me, which was nice looking back, that all through my life, really, they trusted me to make my own decisions. And that was just another one of them, I think, at that point, which was fortunate for me. So they were supportive, but not pushy either way. And it was super fun. You can imagine, I mean, how much fun kids have in their first couple of years of college. And they still look back and, oh, I had such a great time in college, or maybe all their years in college. And for us, those were those ski years. So we were in Europe a lot and we were at training camps and we were at competitions and we were traveling. And
are you saying it was like a college experience?
I guess so. I didn't have, I think so. Cause I ended up going to school for one summer semester, right before that, or no, it was that after that first year of World Cup. So after that combined year of World Cup, I went back and did a summer at school. And actually I thought these kids were crazy, to be honest. I thought this is nuts. These kids are just partying all the time and they just want to do this and that and the other thing. And I thought this is fun, but maybe because I had such a different experience. I had just come back from the World Cup and then gone back into school. So it was, I thought this isn't for me. I have to go train and compete.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I feel like we should pause here because it feels like there's enough, like it's a good stopping point on your career path.
Yeah, that was a lot.
No, it was amazing because we're going to get some lift off when we come back to you here and what happens when you actually become a professional athlete. And so we're going to swing the mic. And is Caroline, are you ready?
I am ready. Well, I want to interject one funny thing about Nelson. I just learned something new, which is cool about you. I didn't know you had bypassed on being an aerialist. I didn't know that. Very cool. And another awesome thing about Nelson, but extremely annoying in ways, was yes, the guy had never skied, really. Is 12 and then goes on to win an Olympic medal. I'm always just fascinated by that with Nelson.
I'm kind of annoyed too.
Yeah. But something to interject about Nelson is he is a freak of athletic nature. So I don't know that could apply to everybody. He's just.
You mean like naturally gifted?
Just crazy.
Just body and mind, both. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I could tell.
He's kind of like an anomaly that way. But anyway, so yeah, my story was quite different. Like I grew up skiing, started at 2 or
where,
even before
where
2.
Where'd you grow up?
In Tahoe.
Oh,
so Lake
cool.
Tahoe.
Yeah.
Alpine Meadows, Squaw Valley. And then my dad is Swiss. So we would go back and forth to Switzerland quite a bit. So I actually think my early years of skiing were between Squaw Valley and in Switzerland. And just cause has always loved skiing. It's kind of my, I don't know, I still feel that way. It's just part of who I am. Loved it and always wanted to be the best and was always really competitive as a little kid.
How, like, what do you think that's from? Were you just, you came out that way?
Yeah, or? I think it's innate. I'm just, I mean, I'm still really competitive, so.
Oh, I love it. We're going to come back to this, but are you seeing that in your kids? It's like one of them come out competitive and the other one didn't?
I know, it's funny. I don't know. It's kind of, Hugo, our little guy, is definitely, he's just go, go, go. And he's also, I think, naturally super athletically talented. And then Freya seemed more competitive, and now she's kind of in maybe that lull of kind of trying to figure out friends and dynamic.
Okay, we're coming back to kids. Let's keep rolling on your
stuff. Yeah. So I knew I wanted to be in the Olympics since forever, and was very one track minded that way. And then we moved here to Steamboat when I was a junior in high school. So I was 15, turning 16, and was part of the Winter Sports Club that year. And then I made the US ski team at the end of my junior year of high school. And so then went on and competed in World Cups. My first Olympics, I was 18 in 98. But yeah, it's just interesting to me, like hearing Nelson's story, and we do, you know, you feel like if your kid's not in something by the time they're two, then they're screwed or something.
Well, so it's really cool because you guys are extremely different in that way. Like,
yeah,
you were.
I was.
In that sport since too.
Yeah. And I definitely am, you know, I think that's kind of my default thinking, like, oh, we got to get them doing this. And since I am competitive, oh, and they need to be good. And
oh, this is going to, oh,
and
this
Nelson's
is going to get good.
Nelson's way more relaxed that way. So,
oh, God, so you know,
it's good. It's a good balance. But yeah, Nelson always drives me crazy with his moves to Steamboat, learns to ski, and wins an Olympic medal.
Well, okay.
I think part of that's the sport, too. You had a lot. Alpine is the biggest skiing sport, and freestyle was really just emerging. It's become pretty big for sure, but it's still much smaller than the alpine world. So I always felt like I just had less competitors to get through, I think, along that whole process than on the alpine side.
Well, you're still learning all the same life skills, right? I get it. The pool may be a little smaller, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, what are you ever, have any desire? Can you even relate to doing aerials?
And no,
like, moguls.
I look at them and I just cringe. So,
well, yeah.
It's incredible.
You both ended up on the path you were supposed to be on. And is this like a natural point then upon which maybe we could tell the story about how you met? So you're 18 in Steamboat and you were, and we hadn't gotten into you.
Yeah. So, all the way, but well, yeah. We do. It's funny. We have a picture actually. I'm 18 and Nelson is older than I am. So you're, how old would you be then? 32. There were 14 years different. And we were giving out an award, or he was something. We're presenting a Winter Sports Club award. And so it's really funny. I have a t-shirt on that says like boy crazy, and it has like googly eyes. And then Nelson's there. And yeah, so that was probably our first meeting. And
you met on like a stage?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we knew each other. We knew of each other because Nelson was like a local celebrity having won an Olympic medal.
Yeah, but the life stage, man, this is kind of pretty cool, to be honest.
I just joke, like, I would have never known that would be my future husband, you know.
So would you, were you like, yeah, this guy, I always just thought he was like an icon, but wow, he's a human and maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe?
I definitely was not thinking, no, I was young and dumb, and I think he was married at the time, and no, there was no sparks flew that day.
Okay, okay.
I mean, I had a boy crazy shirt on, so no.
Right, yeah.
No, but so then life, fast forward.
How do you remember that? Do you remember that meeting Caroline there?
Yeah, I remember it. And especially from the picture, just like she described, she had a t-shirt that said boy crazy. It had those plastic eyes with the, I think of Elmo or Cookie Monster maybe, with the eyes that sort of spin when you move. Yeah. And I don't remember that from the event, but I definitely remember from the picture because we have the picture somewhere and found it again somewhere.
Oh,
but
God, that's funny.
Yeah. I knew Caroline too from around town. And I mean, she was famous around here because she was doing so well. And yeah, I'd been to the Olympics. I don't know if you had been at that point yet, probably that year. Yeah.
And so wait, Nelson, were you like done with your career at that point? And you
possibly.
Were just starting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. Because this is going back, but the Olympics in 88, I was 22. And then so 92 Olympics, I was 26. And then I stopped World Cup at that year at 26. And then there were some pro mogul events going on for the next couple years. So I did that. It was kind of a nice way to still be in it, but not be as serious and could do it on my own more or less and just be in the States and go to a few events a year. And they were dual moguls and they were fun events. They were kind of made for TV and there was prize money and cars you could win. And it was just a whole different thing. And I started commentating a little bit on one of those series. And so it was a nice way to do that for a couple few years and then stop altogether. So I might have been doing those during that time that we're talking about with Caroline's
it's
t-shirt.
Like, you think of a bell curve of a career, right? You're on the start. Caroline's on the start of hers and you're coming down the backside of the bell curve, right?
Yeah.
And were you a new dad at that point?
I think so. Yep. I must have been because Noah is 26 now and however old I am, I'm 58, just turned 58. So that sounds about right.
And I mean, this is a story today about you two, but you know, our lives take crazy paths and lots of turns. And you know, you had a previous marriage and a kid. So you had like gone through that and obviously didn't work out.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yep. And so at what point did you two come together?
Oh, it was, I mean, farther along in that whole process for me, for sure. I mean, Carol, something like that. 11 years
after
later.
The stage, after the boy crazy.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. Okay.
Because yeah, I was kind of doing my thing and I was, Noah, my older son, was born here, but I was also spending time out in the Northwest. I helped run a summer ski camp on Mount Hood for about 10 years and then was into windsurfing in the summers out there and kind of extended seasons. And so I was spending some of the time out there in the Northwest and then back here for the winters working. And anyway, so yeah, it sounds like about 10 or 11 years. And Caroline during that time was really in the height of her career and racing and World Cup all the time and all over the place. And so we'd see each other just kind of in passing, I think, here in events for the ski area, because they would want Caroline to come to those. And I was working with the ski area. And we did some trade shows, did some on snow events and around town and things with the club. You had coached a little bit with the club. I coached a few different times with the club here. So we had known each other during that whole time. Yeah, but never really connected until she was almost finished. And you can go into more of that.
Oh, I'd like to hear this.
Yeah,
part.
And I always wish I had known Nelson or spent more time with him before, because I think he would have helped my career so much. But the stars didn't align that way. But he would have been good for me.
In what way? Why?
Oh man, a lot of ways. But I always think how Nelson has like this really steady demeanor about him. And I needed steadiness. I had like a tumultuous career with injury and my parents went through a really nasty divorce and like our family got uprooted. And and I think I just, unfortunately, as good of a skier as I and as talented as I was, the mental fortitude, I just didn't always have that dialed in. So I always think Nelson would have been really good for me that way, because he has that. I think that's one of the strongest parts about Nelson, probably, besides his freakishly athletic talent. But so I think Nelson would have been good for me, because Nelson is always good at, like a lot of men, kind of compartmentalizing and prioritizing. And I wasn't always very good at that. So, so Nelson and I, we actually met. We were filming a commercial, which was, well, not met, but I think when things kind of sparks started flying, we filmed a commercial and the guy was like, "You guys got to hold hands." And I was like, "This is so weird. I'm holding Nelson Carmichael's hands." And then
and you're really like in your late 20s.
Yeah, I was, I think, 28 at the time, 29, 28.
Yeah.
And had come, had had a really hard couple years. I shattered my femur and kneecap at the start of the 2006 Olympics. And so I sat out for almost two seasons recovering from that. And I had just come back. And then I blew out my other knee for the second time. And so I basically had almost three, I had 3 years where I was like not competing. So I had just come back on the World Cup, which turned out to be my final year, but I didn't know that, obviously. And freakishly had bubonic plague in there and was hospitalized for a while.
Oh my. I know. I feel like you sacrificed your body.
I know, which is like so dumb in ways, but.
Yeah, but we're going to get
still kind of like that.
Yeah, but you were still able to use it for, you know, act two.
Yes, which is great. And okay. I think it really has, it's, I mean, it's create, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's just who I am. I think I was not a fearful person, which I actually am very, I like that part about me. And so I was really, really set on always wanting to come back and accomplish my goal of winning an Olympic medal. And then later I really wanted to go out on my own terms, which unfortunately didn't happen. But,
how did you, so, you know, in past episodes, I interviewed Anne Battelle, yep. And she still carries some sadness and almost shame.
Yeah, she and I are, we've talked a lot about it. She and I are very similar that way.
Do you feel like you were able to get beyond not having accomplished that very, very, very final
goal? No, it still totally eats at me. Yeah.
We got to get you there.
Yeah, I know. It's just so funny because you know, your whole dream is that Olympic medal. And
yeah.
And I also joke with Nelson, like he got it. So sometimes I'm so envious that, you know, he did accomplish his goal and I didn't, but,
well, and yeah. here's that part of the travesty of being a champion person, you know, is like you set super lofty goals.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a bronze, you might still be pissed.
It's true.
Today
I mean, I have
that you didn't get a gold.
It's so true. I mean, I have, you know, teammates that won Olympic medals and they still, like Julia Mancuso is a good friend of mine and she still also feels cheated in ways, you know, or feels like she didn't get to have her story end the way she wanted. So I think you're right. It's part of being an elite athlete and having that really high aspiration and that high dream. I think, you know, you're always left with wanting more, which is, I think, part of being who we are.
Oh, it's pretty tragic, actually, because you talked about like ending on your own terms and stuff. And you're like, oh, wouldn't it be great to like win the gold and then just like hang it up. But then, A, if you did that, you might be like, maybe I could have won another gold.
Totally. Yeah.
Or if you try to keep winning the gold, eventually you stop being able to win a gold ever because age and body and all this
it's
stuff.
So true.
So there's no perfect.
I know. It is true. And it's true. Man. Even those athletes that do have like their storybook career, I know they're frustrated in ways too. So
yeah. Yeah, so we're all growing and learning still.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sparks flew on camera.
Oh, yeah, they flew. We held hands.
Were you guys like, wow, I just thought it liked this person. Was it literally like the physical spark going here?
No. It was more like, this is so weird. Nelson had like man hands. And
he is a man.
Yeah, he's a man.
And he has hands. So.
And he was so nice and I remember I asked him if he wanted to go get a drink and I didn't know that Nelson doesn't drink. So he was like,
was that awkward?
No, it was just funny. And then I went back on the World Cup. So then I was like, see you later. And I remember he had packed like some little magazines and notes and that I like didn't find till I was over in Europe in my bag, which was really nice. And then,
you wrote like a little, Nelson, you wrote like little love notes?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is so cool. Okay. Swing it.
They were love. I don't think they were love notes, but I could tell where she was in her ski career that it's a tough time. I mean, not only having been injured and going back
from an injury, you know, that's a tough time. But just in general, even if you're not injured, it's just it's full on. That's all you do. You pack your bags, you train, you compete, you travel, you do it again. And it's just full focus on those few things. And having known what that's like, and she was going right back into it. I was always really intrigued with Caroline, and she just always was attractive to me, and still is, of course. And I could certainly feel that then. And I just wanted her to know that, you know, that she could do the best that she can over there and chase her goals. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine too. But hopefully it will. And I just, again, knowing what a full commitment that is and to stay committed to it and see it out, I thought was a great thing. And so, yeah, I probably slipped a couple of those things into her bags and knowing that she'd be gone for a while and I wouldn't see her probably till spring or in a few months.
Okay, so you've kind of described yourselves and each other in ways like, Nelson, you're steady and thoughtful and all these like great things that help someone feel supported and special. And Caroline, you're competitive and intense and you have emotions and you're boy crazy. No, you know, but you're like, you put it out there, right? You're like more like, wow, I just walk in a room and it just goes nuts, your energy. And so you two came together with very different energy fields is what I'm feeling right now. And I wonder if and how that has served you beyond sport and into marriage and into fostering a family. And if you ever feel like there's tension with it, do you get annoyed? Like, God, why did I end up with the polar opposite of me? Or do you appreciate it?
No, I think we appreciate it. And it's funny because after we had hung out, I knew, like I keep saying, they're just Nelson's attributes and who he is so attractive to me because I just knew I needed that in my life. I just grew up like with a lot of chaos and like just felt like there was a lot of chaos in my life. And so I knew I needed some Nelson in my life. So I remember actually going to my sister and saying, oh my gosh, Isabel, I met the guy I'm going to marry, but I don't like him yet. And she was like, that's really weird.
I have never heard someone say that.
Yeah, because I just knew that Nelson was for me. But I think it was just because he was older. He had, you know, been married before, had a child. And so, you know, that we just were coming at it in different times of our life. So, and Nelson was so patient because I just said, just give me time. Let's hang out. And then sure enough, didn't take very long.
Oh, my gosh. So you're both living back here.
Yeah, so I ended up sadly getting hurt again my last season, and something I was no longer funded. I was on the US ski team, but wasn't funded per se. So I had lost like all my contracts, my sponsorships. It wasn't really hard last year. Had to fund myself. And so I ended up like stopping even in, I think, February and just coming home and being like, guess that's the end of my career. Which was really sad for me. And then Nelson and I would hang out. We would cross country ski a bunch because I had hurt my knee and that was all I could do.
Well, that's a middle ground.
Yeah, it was great.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we hung out a bunch and then from there, it just the rest
went.
Is history.
But
I'll let Nelson chat more about our demeanors.
Well, before we go there, I totally forgot. We're sponsored by the amazing local energy company, Honey Stinger. Are you two sponsored by other companies or can you take a bite of a Honey Stinger right now?
Yeah, or choose or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. So we're going to do a live action ad. If you would like, please, I'm going to open up this bag of Honey Stinger caffeinated chews in the Stingerita lime flavor. The cool thing about these, and as parents and athletes, we know that caffeine is a really awesome tool to use in our sports. Maybe not for our 5 and 8 year old kids, but for all of the listeners, which are largely parents, definitely utilize the caffeine. Yeah. That Honey Stinger brings to the table. So yeah. Tell me about your nutrition, by the way, real quick, while we're on this subject.
Oh boy. Caroline's much better at nutrition than me.
she's a, she could have been a cook too, a chef. I think learned a lot from her mom and her grandmother, but, yeah, she's amazing with cooking and nutrition. And I think that European heritage and, exposure to that you've known all your life. So for me, I'm more just grab it and go, and it wouldn't matter. And now I appreciate better food. And she wishes that I appreciate it more.
Yeah.
This guy exists on cookies pretty much, which is like another mind blowing thing about Nelson.
Oh my gosh. Well, basically the Honey Stinger waffle is basically like a cookie.
Yeah. As he's eating one right now.
Uh-huh. And some people double the waffles up and put like peanut butter or marshmallow fluff or, you know, whatever you want in between. So there you go.
Yes. And so by nutrition.
I know. And we're not going to go down this rabbit hole, but I just want to remind our listeners to use the code SSWSC20. For 20% off online. I think that's the code. And if it's not, I'm going to make it the code. All right, you guys, back to the show here. Okay. We need to talk about how and when you decided to become parents, because this is no small decision. And you have now brought two children into this world, both of whom are loving playing on snow and living in Steamboat, from what I've heard. So, you know, when you're a pro athlete, especially as a woman, see, as a man, you can't have a child and not really skip too much of a step, or at least, you know, depends on how you approach it. As a woman, you cannot take, you know, have a child in the middle of your career unless you want to take some time off. So, did you always know you wanted to have kids and you were kind of waiting?
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to be a mom, probably because I had such a great mom. So I always knew I wanted to be a mom. Ironically, I didn't ever really love kids a ton. Like, I never babysat growing up, and my best kid experiences actually were coaching with the Winter Sports Club, and loved those kids.
I always thought kids looked like they made every couple miserable. And then they always had boogers. And I was like, well, I don't want to get sick. I'm an athlete, right?
I know. Or Noah says that all the time. Like, they're just so gross with their food all over their face all the time, which is our 5-year-old. He is.
He's a food facer.
Yeah. It's like mind blowing still. But yeah, parenting, I always knew I wanted to. And actually, that was a big thing for Nelson and I in our relationship, just knowing that he had already had a child. I just wanted to make sure that that was something that he wanted to do again. So yes, we always knew that. And actually seeing that we kind of got a later start, we didn't get married till I think I was 32 or 33. And then I had a little bit of trouble actually getting pregnant. So there was some more time in there. So finally I had Freya at 35 or 36. And then Hugo at 39. So, yeah, I think, you know, we definitely waited some out of choice and some just the way that it was planned. That nature had it planned. And then Nelson, of course, was even older. So we come at it probably from different ways where we had lived a lot of life before having kids. and for me, actually, the thing that I always go back to is just how humbling parenthood is. Having been an elite athlete and really feeling like whatever I put my mind to, I could, for the most part, do. And traveling the world and seeing kids on airplanes and just being like, geez, that parent just is sucking at their job, and passing judgment. Like, yeah, my kid would never do that. And when I have kids,
God, and I'm never going to feed them French fries.
Yeah,
I'm never going to.
Uh-huh. And even when I was coaching, you know, not having been a parent, now you just have such a better appreciation and admiration for fellow parents. And I'll also say it's the hardest job. I mean, we gave a talk last year or the year before, and I mean, I always thought being an Olympian, you know, is hard. And I will say parenting takes the cake. It's way harder just because it's relentless, and it really has nothing to do with you. So that's, I think, just so humbling.
Oh, what a good way to put it, man. All right, Nelson, weigh in.
Well, there's a lot of parts there.
Yeah, it was a little different for me, the question of having kids. I remember Caroline asked that right away when we started dating more, being together more, about having kids. And I thought, whoa, this is, we're jumping right along here. First, you were saying, oh, let's just be cool about this and not go too fast. And then it was next, well, what do you think about kids? And so at first I thought, yeah, that's fine. I wanted to be open to everything. And I was fine with that in my mind. And then as we got further along and it got more serious and we got married and then talking about having, okay, this is time to have kids. Then, and I think even before that too, there were a couple of times where I was, then reality hit more and I thought, whoa, okay, this really may happen and we might have kids. And, how do I feel about all that? And so it was, yeah, there were some rocky roads in there for us as a couple, actually, because of all that. And when it came right down to it, I thought, I don't know if I can do this. But then I realized it was obviously it's a totally different situation. It's a different relationship. And what, I was coming from before, that doesn't necessarily mean it was going to happen this time or this go around or this family, another family, if you will. And so I had to realize that it was going to be different. It was going to be a whole nother experience. And if I was truly open to it, then I need to go and be a part of it and do it. And so it took a little bit for me to get to that point. But then we got there. So, and Caroline stuck around fortunately through that. Cause I always loved her and I always wanted this life with her and whatever that meant. So I just had to really fully come around to that in myself. And that took a little bit of time, but, yeah, and here we are. And it, yeah, and it is the hardest. And I think, I was maybe telling myself I'd be comfortable, with the whole, baby stages and that young person life because I'd been through it before. So I was kind of thinking to myself, oh, it won't be that bad. I mean, yeah, it's hard. And it's full on and it's, 24/7 and all the things with a newborn and new young kids. But then what I wasn't thinking, well, yeah, that was one kid before. It was always just one person. I had my son Noah and it was just him. And so we ended up having two kids and I remember thinking when Freya, our older daughter, was a couple years old, or not even a couple years old, was like, okay, if we're going to do this, we need to have another kid. We need to start and start this all over again. I was going, oh my gosh. Okay. You know, here we go. Here we go. So the whole people ask me all the time, oh, well, you've done this before. What's it like, with your kids? And yeah, I just always go back to, yeah, but it was one before it was, and it is quite a bit different. My hat's always off to people that have three and four and five and six kids. Cause I don't know if I really could do that. Two is great, but it's a whole different world than having one.
Are we done with two?
Yeah.
To it? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is a question I would have thought to ask as well. You go, oh, you got some experience. Whatever you screwed up before, maybe you could do it right this time.
Yeah. Or think, oh, it's not that big a deal. Or be really scared of it and think, oh, it is a huge deal. And oh my gosh, I can't do it again. And I didn't want to be like that. I didn't want to shut myself off to something that could be amazing and just to say no. And, I'm going to be by myself. Or why can't we just be a couple? And, I wanted to be open to it. But I didn't realize I would say that to myself, but I wasn't truly, it took me a while to truly get there.
So. And it feels like every stage you're talking through, both of you, that you're stretching and pushing and learning, because that's not like steady, thoughtful Nelson. That's like you pushing into a whole new area, having to go through that like internal struggle. Mm-hmm. And good thing you did, because you got to this side of it and you have Freya and Hugo, both of whom are fun little human beings put on this planet, right? Did I say their names right?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. 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 They're fun and wild human beings. Yeah.
I know. And I always said to Nelson, I was like, how hard can it be? Like everyone, all these yahoos are having kids. Like, come on.
It's actually, I've said that too before.
And now I'm like, how does everyone else do it?
what the heck? Everyone seems to have it going on, but you know, everybody's in chaos, just like all of us. Yeah. And so it's good for people listening to be like, oh my gosh, these two completely,
oh no, you know, like, we're just a walking disaster.
Well, here's a question, Caroline, this is probably a good one for you. Having self-admittedly being a very competitive person, how do you manage your, you know, pushing your children in whatever direction or guiding them in whatever direction? Do you try not to let that competitive drive wash off on them? Or is it really hard? Do you get what I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah.
Here?
Yeah. I think it's a combo. It's a combo of me tempering myself a little bit. And me sharing my competitiveness, you know? So, I think, I mean, my kids know that about me. They know that I'm, you know, everything, I always want to win, which is so funny. I mean, silly little things.
Like board games?
Yeah, everything, you know, or if like trivia or, you know, or even, yeah, I mean, it's just.
I mean, even in your new career, you reinvented and started a whole new business, you know? I mean, and it's good for our kids to see that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's true to myself. So I mean, I want to make sure my kids know that. And they do. They know that about me, that I.
But then they know that they can be who they
are. Yeah, I think too. Yeah. And it's funny because part of me, you know, I'd love to see my daughter be more competitive at times just because, you know, I like that part about myself, and I think it's important for girls to kind of have a little bit of fire. But then on the flip side, like my daughter is teaching me so many great things about herself and her path. So, yeah, again, it's that you learn so much from your kids. And like I said, it's so humbling. And then Hugo, our little guy, he's definitely more competitive and feisty and total pain in the butt. So,
you know, I wish we had like another hour to sit here, but I'm going to kind of start moving us towards our finish line today. And maybe we'll have to do part two sometime. If you as parents could sum up some of the, you know, is there anything succinct that you can put out there that you have learned from being a hardcore athlete to now being a parent and having to transition to that role? Like, what advice could you give to some of the parents listening who are sitting there going, my kid's not competitive and I feel like they should be more competitive, or, you know, whatever?
I think to realize that it's tough and it's everybody's journey, I think. So if it's obviously the kid's journey, a lot of parents want to put our puzzle, our stuff of life onto the kid, or want to have them meet a certain pathway and go along a certain trail and go through life that way. But that's really it might be what we're putting on them. But obviously you can't just let them fully go either. You have to guide them and kind of steer them into positive things and keep them moving in a nice direction. So I would just say it's just to realize that that's a fine balance, to let them be themselves and also keep guiding them, you know, a little bit at a time, as long, whatever they spark interest in, I think is maybe the only advice I could give.
I think, yeah, I'm probably similar. I'm all about, I think, exposure. Like I keep saying that I want to expose our kids to what our passions are. And I think too, you know, sharing our passion is something that, I mean, kids love. All the kids that I have been around, kids love to see what their parents are passionate about. And whether or not that becomes their own passion is fine, but I think just sharing that with them and exposing them to that. And I think too, for me, having been a Olympic athlete and being a coach, I realize the likelihood of my kids being an Olympic athlete is slim to nil, to be perfectly honest. It's an incredibly difficult, I mean, there's what, eight 4-8 new athletes every couple years ever even named the US ski team. It's very, very minute amount. So the fact that my kid would maybe have the same exact path, I realize is probably pretty unlikely. So I think that takes pressure off. Like if they show this incredible passion for it and talent, I want to nurture that and encourage them. But realizing that the likelihood of them following in our exact footsteps is probably not very likely. And I feel totally fine with that. So I think that's important. Yeah. And I wish parents realize that especially in alpine skiing, the chance of your child becoming an Olympic athlete is pretty minute. And I think once people realize that, there's nothing wrong with that dream. But as a parent, realizing that, you know, it's not as easy as it seems, because in Steamboat, there are so many Olympians. I think a lot of parents think move to Steamboat or live in Steamboat and your kid's naturally an Olympic athlete. And that just really isn't the case. It's so damn hard. So
I'll be honest, it'd be kind of cool to have an Olympic mathlete. How about that?
I say that all the time. Yeah. I'm like, do something awesome in school where you're going to make a ton of money and you can take care of us or whatever it might be, you know, whatever you're passionate in. I feel like, it's the exposure and sharing your passion and then nurturing their passion and just having a healthy understanding, I think, of, you know, where it leads you. Because yes, even if you're an Olympic athlete, then you still have the rest of your life after that. And what's that going to look like? And so there's just so much more than just that, you know, small window of life, I feel like.
Wow, you guys, this is so fun. By the way, if you're ever walking along the core trail over by the Sea Hole in the library, glance up at the meeting room, because that's where we're sitting right now. And every once in a while, I'm in here with some amazing former Olympic athletes, but truly even more Olympic human beings is what I would describe you both as, like total champions, amazing people.
Geez, thank you.
Oh, I just love it. I wish that, you know, we could stay in here all day. But you know, we do actually wrap the podcast with one question we ask every athlete. So I'm going to ask both of you, and you have one more question to answer. Can answer okay. The same question. And that is, what is the greatest lesson you've learned through sport?
For me, it's hard work, I think, that's what comes to mind first. It's really that commitment that you make to the sport. You have to decide, okay, I mean, it's one thing to fool around when you're young and you're having fun and you're friends and you're exploring different things, but it's a whole nother to decide, okay, I'm committed to this sport to see exactly where it'll lead and then to do the work to get there. I mean, that's number one.
And that's followed you through life.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's harder in regular life, so to speak, because there's not that specific goal. You can make some, but it's a very specific goal to say, I want to be world champion. I want to win the World Cup tour. I want to win an Olympic medal. I want to, whatever it might be. Those are extremely specific. And so to say that in business world or education world, you can do it. But it's naturally going to be a little more vague. So, it's harder in real life. It's simpler in athletic life. It's a very simple life. So to say hard work is, that's almost everything for sure. That's not saying it's easy, but it's relatively simple. To shoot for that one goal in athletics.
Yeah, I love it.
Similar to Nelson, I would say, the dream and then the perseverance. Just, I know for myself, all my kind of obstacles that I had to overcome and injuries and mental roadblocks, just learning that perseverance, I think, has served me really well later in life. Just being willing to, you know, to have a dream, a goal in mind, and then make those steps to get there, I think is the greatest life lesson.
Yeah, and perseverance as a parent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't give up.
Don't let them win.
Yeah, yes. I win. No. Actually, I'm losing every day all the time.
That's good for us too. Oh my gosh, you guys, how great. Thank you so much for coming in. And I look forward to seeing you both around town and following the progress of your kiddos, whether it's on the slopes or in the math room.
Well, thanks again for having us. It's a real treat. Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club show presented by Honey Stinger. Check out the club's winter and summer programs at sswsc.org. If you have a special topic or guest you want featured, we'd love to hear from you. Now get out there and support, lead, or be a champion on or off the mountain.